All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at something pretty interesting. You know, that spot where criminal procedure and immigration law kind of like, well, I guess you could say they collide.
Yeah, they definitely intersect in some pretty complicated ways.
Exactly. And today's case is, well, I think it's a perfect example of that. We're going to be talking about United States v. Ortega Ascanio, a Ninth Circuit decision.
It's a fascinating one for sure.
It really is. And especially, I think, for all of you law students out there, you know, this case really highlights how a Supreme Court decision, you know, something that happens way up there, can really trickle down and like completely reshape how we think about past convictions and how it affects even cases that are, you know, happening right now. You ready to jump in?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So the case is about this guy, Alfredo Ortega Ascanio. Now, he was a lawful permanent resident, but he ended up facing deportation because way back in 1989, he was convicted of sexual battery.
Okay.
So years later, he comes back to the U.S. Yeah. And he gets caught and slapped with this charge of illegal reentry, you know, under 8 U.S.C. Section 1326. So he ends up pleading guilty to this charge.
Right.
But here's where things get really, really interesting. All right. So listen closely. After he pleads guilty, right, but before he's actually sentenced, the Supreme Court drops this bomb, a decision called INS v. St. Cyr in 2001.
St. Cyr now, that is a big one.
Huge case, right. Can you kind of like remind everyone why that case was such a game changer, especially in this kind of situation with Ortega Ascanio?
Yeah, so St. Cyr really messed with everyone because it basically had this like retroactive power, you know, like it could reach back in time. See, before 1996, there was this part of immigration law, section 212C of the INA.
Okay.
And it basically gave some legal residents who were, you know, facing deportation a chance to ask the immigration judge for relief, you know.
Like a second chance kind of. Yeah,
exactly. Like even if they had a conviction, they could be like, hey, but I've been here a long time. I have roots in the community. I've turned my life around. Can I stay? It was discretionary, you know, up to the judge.
Okay. Interesting.
But then came 1996, the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, AEDPA for short. And this really messed things up. It like seriously limited who could even ask for this 212C relief. A lot of people got shut out.
So AEDPA made things tougher.
Much tougher. But then St. Cyr comes along and basically says, hold on a minute. These new AEDPA rules, you can't just apply them to people who pled guilty before AEDPA even existed. That's not fair.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So all those guilty pleas that happened before AEDPA, suddenly they were like back in play because maybe, just maybe, those people could have gotten 212C relief if they knew about it, if they had that chance.
Okay. So how does this all connect back to Ortega Ascanio?
Well, think about it. His conviction, the one that got him in trouble, happened in 1989, way before AEDPA.
Right. Before all the craziness.
Exactly. So his argument was basically like, hang on, back then, maybe I could have gotten this 212C relief, you know? Maybe I could have stayed in the U.S. legally, but no one, not even the immigration judge, ever told me that was even a possibility.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. So he's saying because of that, because they didn't tell him, his deportation might have been, well, illegal, you know. And if his deportation wasn't legal in the first place, well, that really screws up this whole illegal reentry charge, right?
Because he shouldn't have been deported in the first place.
Right. So that's why he's like, I want to take back my guilty plea to this illegal reentry charge. The whole thing is messed up.
Makes sense. So did they just let him take back? I mean, did it work?
Well, hold your horses. Not so fast. It brings up a really key question that you'll face as a lawyer, too. You know, like, when can someone actually say, no, I take it back? And the answer is, it's in Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 11.
Oh, Rule 11, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, see, that rule says a defendant, they can withdraw their guilty plea before sentencing if, and this is the key part, if they can show the court there's a fair and just reason for doing it.
Fair and just reason. Okay.
And Ortega Ascanio, he's arguing that St. Cyr, that decision, that is his fair and just reason.
But the district court, they weren't buying it, right?
Nope. They shut him down and said no.
Why? What was their reasoning?
Well, see, and this is what the Ninth Circuit later said was wrong. They were using the wrong tool to measure the situation. The district court, they were stuck on whether the guilty plea to illegal reentry, you know, that specific plea, whether it was knowing, voluntary, intelligent, all that, like, was it a valid plea on its own?
Okay, so they were super focused on the plea itself.
Exactly. And they were like, well, the plea to illegal reentry, that was valid, so there's no reason to let you take it back. Case closed.
Okay, so then the Ninth Circuit steps in, and I'm guessing they're not too happy with how the district court handled this.
Yeah, they basically said, whoa, hold up. You're looking at this the wrong way.
So what did they think was the right way to look at it? What were they emphasizing?
Well, the Ninth Circuit made it super clear that the fair and just reason standard, you know, from Rule 11, that's totally different from the standard you used to say a plea was like messed up from the beginning, you know, invalid.
So two separate things.
Exactly. Like you don't have to prove that someone forced you to plead guilty or that you didn't understand what would happen, you know, all that stuff to meet this fair and just reason bar, especially when you haven't even been sentenced yet.
Okay.
See, the bar is lower at this point before sentencing, and that's on purpose. And so there can be fairness, you know, and things can be adjusted if needed.
So they're giving you a bit more wiggle room.
Exactly. And this is a key point for you future lawyers out there. Listen up. The Ninth Circuit, they were like drawing a big line in the sand between this fair and just reason standard and what it takes to say a plea is invalid, like totally messed up. Remember that, okay? That difference, it's a powerful tool you can use, but only before sentencing.
I'm writing that down. That's a good one.
For sure, for sure.
So basically what you're saying is the Ninth Circuit was like, hey, a big Supreme Court decision like St. Cyr, something that could change everything about whether his deportation was even legal, well, that could be a fair and just reason to withdraw his guilty plea, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got it. The Ninth Circuit, they recognized that St. Cyr basically handed Ortega Escanio this, like, potential weapon, you know, a way to fight his deportation. Because if they deported him illegally, and remember, he's saying they didn't tell him about 212C relief. Well, if that's true, then this whole illegal reentry charge falls apart, right? Because it depends on illegal deportation to begin with.
Right, the whole thing crumbles.
Yeah, and the court was like, look, it doesn't even matter if his guilty plea to illegal reentry was, you know, technically okay when he made it. What matters is, did things change so much that it's not fair to hold him to that plea anymore?
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. So let me see if I get this straight. St. Cyr comes along and basically says, hey, maybe the reason they deported him was wrong. But this happens after he already pled guilty to illegal reentry. And now the question is, does this new information, this possibility that the deportation was wrong, does that give him a fair and just reason to go back and withdraw his guilty plea to the illegal reentry charge?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And that's what the Ninth Circuit is trying to figure out.
That's a pretty tricky situation.
For sure. For sure.
This is getting really interesting for all those future lawyers out there. I mean, this case really dives deep into the weeds, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you know what else? The Ninth Circuit, they specifically called out the district court for mixing up these two separate standards.
Yeah.
Like they said they were wrong to focus on whether the plea was invalid instead of looking at whether there was a fair and just reason to withdraw it.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned that distinction earlier. That's super important.
Huge. Huge. Especially for you all. See, this pre-sentencing phase, you know, under Rule 11, it's like a window where you can maybe fix things even if the plea was, you know, by the book at the time.
I like the window analogy.
Yeah. So the court is basically saying, look, a big change in the law like St. Cyr, that's definitely a valid reason, a good reason to try and withdraw your plea before we sentence you.
Okay. So timing is key here.
Absolutely. Timing is everything. Yeah. Ortega Escanio, he was smart. He tried to withdraw his plea before they sentenced him. Now imagine if he had waited until after sentencing. What do you think would have happened?
I'm guessing it wouldn't have gone as well.
Nope, not at all. Once you're sentenced, it's a whole different ballgame. You want to challenge your guilty plea after that?
Yeah.
Good luck. You'll probably have to go through a direct appeal or what's called a collateral attack.
Which are both way harder.
Way harder. And the standards are much stricter. Yeah. You basically have to prove some huge injustice happened or the plea itself was like unconstitutional.
Yeah.
So this fair and just reason standard, it's really only for pre-sentencing motions because, well, the court has way more power to fix things before everything is final, before they slam the gavel and say you're sentenced.
I see. So it's like before sentencing, they can still kind of adjust things, make changes.
Right. It's like you're reviewing a draft of a paper. It's easier to make changes before you hit that publish button, you know?
Okay.
After sentencing, it's like you're trying to change a book that's already been printed and sent out to the world.
That makes a lot of sense.
So timing, timing, timing.
Got it. So big picture, what does all this mean for lawyers? What are the big takeaways from this Ortega Escanio case that law students should really remember?
All right, future lawyers, listen closely. I'm about to drop some knowledge. Mm. First, and I can't stress this enough, you got to know the difference between the standards for withdrawing a plea before sentencing, that fair and just reason thing we talked about, and what you need to do after sentencing, which is way harder.
Okay.
Second, always, always got to be on top of changes in the law, especially those big Supreme Court decisions that can reach back in time and change everything. Those can totally be your fair and just reason to withdraw a plea. So stay informed, people.
Always be reading.
Right. And third, this case is a perfect example of how criminal law and immigration law are like, well, they're intertwined, you know, like something small in one area can cause a huge mess in another area.
Yeah, like a butterfly effect.
Exactly. So pay attention to both. All right. Don't underestimate either one.
This case is also kind of a warning, right? Like a reminder that things can go wrong even in the immigration courts.
Oh, absolutely. Like what if the immigration judge back in 1989, what if they didn't tell Ortega-Escanio about 212C relief?
Yeah.
That's a huge due process problem. I mean, he's arguing that because of that, his deportation was illegal, which then means this whole illegal reentry charge is bogus. It makes you think, doesn't it, about how one little mistake can have massive consequences for someone's life.
It really does. It's not just about the law. It's about people. The Ninth Circuit really hit on that in their decision, didn't they?
They did. They did. They basically said, hey, these rules, these procedures, they're not just technicalities. They're there for a reason, to make sure things are fair, to give people a chance. And when the law changes, the system needs to be able to adapt to make sure it's still fair, even if that means looking back at old cases.
That's powerful. And it's a good lesson for anyone going into law. You know, it's not just about knowing the rules. It's about understanding why they're there, what they're trying to protect.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So before we wrap this up, let's just do a quick recap of the key takeaways from United States v. Ortega-Escanio. Are you ready?
Ready when you are.
Okay. So first up, we learned that the fair and just reason standard for ditching a guilty plea before sentencing, well, it's not as tough as proving the plea was totally messed up from the get-go. Second, those big Supreme Court decisions, you know, the ones that can change the game retroactively, like INS v. St. Cyr, those can be a fair and just reason to withdraw a plea if they give you a fighting chance, a new legal argument.
Big if.
And we saw how the Ninth Circuit was like, hey, district court, you messed up by using the wrong standard. Should have looked at fair and just reason, not whether the plea was invalid.
Yeah, they made that crystal clear.
And timing, as we talked about, is crucial. If you want to use this fair and just reason argument, you got to do it before sentencing. No exceptions.
Right.
Okay. Plus, we talked about how important it is for immigration judges to do their job right, you know, to make sure non-citizens know all their options, like 212C relief.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't, well, that could throw the whole deportation into question.
Huge consequences for a little mistake.
And last but not least, we saw how immigration stuff and criminal charges, they're like two sides of the same coin. You can't separate them.
Totally intertwined.
All right. So those are the big takeaways from our deep dive into United States v. Ortega-Escanio.
Great case. Lots to learn.
Absolutely. But before we let everyone go, I want to leave you all with something to think about, especially all you future lawyers out there. You know, this case really made me think about the responsibility lawyers have, the ethical duty to stay on top of changes in the law, you know, because those changes, they can affect not just your current cases, but even old ones. And it makes you wonder, how does a case like Ortega-Escanio change how you see the law? Because it shows you the law isn't static, it's always evolving. And those rules, those procedures, they're there to protect people, to make sure things are fair.
Big questions to ponder as you embark on your legal journey.
I'll say, all right, everyone, that's all the time we have for today.
Thanks for joining us.
See you next time on The Deep Dive.